May 6th meeting.
Pre-approved.
No. I call the May 6th meeting of Energy, Environment, and Sustainability Committee to order. Roll call, please.
Chair Hewitt.
Here.
Deputy Chair Walz.
Here.
Legislator Donaldson.
Here.
Legislator Green. She's going to be late. Legislator Litz.
Here.
Legislator Nolan.
Here.
And Legislator Stewart. He's out.
Great, thank you. Mm-hmm. Just a reminder, our meeting structure, priority is given to committee members for discussions and questions. Resolution sponsors are also given priority. It's at the chair's discretion to open to non-members and the public. Can I have an approval of the April 1st, 2025 regular meeting minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve the April 1st meeting minutes.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. Thank you. Resolutions for May 20th, 2025 legislative session. Resolution number 470 of 2024, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 10 of 2024, a local law amending the Code of the County of Ulster, Chapter 205, Food Service, Article 2, Use of Disposable Polystyrene Foam, to include thermoform plastic, to be held on Tuesday, June 17th, 2025 at 7 p.m. A motion to discuss. We have to have a discussion first. I'll make the motion to discuss.
I'll second for discussion.
Director Ryder?
So I know the thermoform language came from FOSS. If you're going to move it forward, that's fine. I would prefer to let me get with everybody on our team one more time, because I'm also seeing places where it's a specific thermoform plastic, which is in the discussion, is that when certain ones are, certain clam shells are made, which is mainly the thermoform, some of the thermoform is made in a way that it can't be broken down and never recycled again. I believe there's other types of thermoform that are the recyclable version. So I just want to be very specific in and not ban something that we're not intending on banning because it's recyclable. And I should have touched base with you before, but this just came up in my preparation for an event last week.
I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Very, very grateful for that comment, because I have that question about this particular plastic. And also, I have wanted, if we're going to do this, to try to do as many of the worst actors as we can. So I had proposed that we consider also including in the ban black plastic, and even considering opaque plastic, if we want to call it that. Plastics that have dyes added to them are much more toxic and are almost all non-recyclable, as I understand it. So if we could get to some language on that, black plastic is very widely used, especially by food establishments, and so I'm cognizant of that. But when we banned styrofoam, we thought that there were suitable alternatives to styrofoam. And if there are to styrofoam, maybe there are to black plastic as well. Black plastic I single out because to get a black color, you have lots of dyes in it, and also often heavy metals, which we definitely do not need in our waste stream and are not going to be allow the product made with them to be recyclable. So is it possible that that's a role that we could ask the UCRRA to look at specifically that one, because it jumps out at me as particularly toxic, but any others that are so unlikely to be recycled or are so toxic that we could maybe do more, do a bunch of them all at once? Yeah. And
I think that's something we...
Before you respond, I'd like to respond directly, and then Legislator Litz is next. I've been thinking of pushing this as it is, and if you didn't ask us to wait a month, I was going to discuss why I think it's important to move it as it is. If we overwhelm the restaurant industry with too much too fast, they won't have the ability to pay for all the alternatives. But if we introduce just the thermoform clamshell, we can help them get compostable and green plastic materials as a replacement, and I hope work with our purchasing department to buy it in bulk enough, working with a nonprofit because we can't buy and sell goods to the restaurants. But my hope is that we can have a clearinghouse of good alternatives that are still affordable, because these compostables are double the price of what they're paying now. And so we don't want to discourage the use, and we don't want to cripple them financially. So I'm thinking we start with thermoform and move on to black. I agree with how bad the pigmented plastics are.
Pigmented, that's a good word. Can you put me back on the list?
Got it. Legislator Litz?
Sure. When we're talking black plastics, are we also talking like garbage bags?
No.
Because most of your large, heavy-duty garbage bags are black plastic.
We're talking about food service industry to-go containers.
Only?
Yeah.
Okay. Then maybe that needs, if we're going to add black plastics, we need to make that very clear. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is there are alternatives. They make corn. They make plastic bags made of corn. They're compostable. They break down. So maybe that's something you can add in there as an alternate in your legislation.
Nice. Director Ryder?
Yes. I mean, I think eventually, like, I think it's fine to go slow and make sure we're getting it right for the benefit of the food service facilities. But I think eventually, and in the hopefully not too distant future, like, we should just be getting rid of single-use plastic in the food service industry. There are other alternatives. It would encourage reuse. We are in the process of buying kits for reuse that we'll hand out at our events that are, you know, utensils, metal straws, and carrying kits that people can easily do it. We already handed out the Tiffins last year. It's like we are moving towards trying to really push this, and I think that would send a strong message. And I wouldn't do it like passing the resolution and then having it go into effect next month. I would give them some time to prepare, kind of like Vermont did with their composting.
Thank you.
So in terms of starting with thermoform and not overwhelming people, I think that different vendors use different plastics, and not, I don't think there would be very many that would use all of these different things. So the person who's using the clamshells might not be using the black plastic and vice versa. So I'm not sure we would be overwhelming to try to do more than one at a time. In terms of the black plastic bags, I think we would need to add that to our single-use plastic bag law, where we've had some initial significant reduction, and I think continuing reduction in most of our communities of not having as many single-use plastic bags, people using reusable or other bags at the grocery stores and farmers markets, for example. That's not where those plastic bags are used. They're used in construction sites and in other uses that we normally don't think of ourselves as regulating. Ulster County does regulate food services, and I guess it's through that we get to regulate the plastic bags in grocery stores. That was a while ago that we did that, so I'm not sure about that. But I'm not sure we have a way to regulate that particular use. But if we do a good job of regulating some of these other uses and educating, we can encourage consumers to do some of the transitions in what's offered and what's purchased by using their dollars to purchase cornstarch and transparent bags rather than opaque bags or pigmented plastics.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we could make good use. There's also at the New York State currently has under review a packaging and plastics bill that I think we should look at. And there are 17 toxic components. So we could look at plastics or any food receptacles that contain any of those and also look to get those out of the waste stream that includes heavy metals. Such as would be in the black plastic or very heavy pigmented plastic.
Great. So I'm going to recommend we postpone for one more month. And we'll talk soon.
Do you want to do that as a motion, or do you want to just take no action?
I think we should take no action. And maybe you and I could talk about a timeline and releasing thermoform, pigmented, something like that.
Sounds good.
Thank you. Resolution number 33. Opposing the establishment of a countywide landfill in Wawarsing, New York, and urging the exploration of alternative locations and waste management solutions. I think we should wait until Legislator Green is here because she sent it back to committee. Are you okay with the committee?
Yes. Good idea.
Well, thank you.
Is she coming today?
Yeah. Yes. 15 minutes. Resolution number 178, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 4 of 2025, a local law providing for the protection and restoration of the Esopus Creek, Rondout Creek, and Walk Hill River in Ulster County, and providing for the rights of the residents of Ulster County to clean water and a healthy and productive ecosystem, to be held on Tuesday, June 17, 2025, at 7:10 p.m. I haven't had a chance to meet with the executive branch about this. I think they have great points about the county becoming like a DEC regulatory agency because of possible lawsuits that this, the way it's written right now, would put the county in the crosshairs. So I think that we're going to adjust it to still protect the rivers, make sure that there aren't harmful inputs, and maybe strengthen our relationship with the DEC instead of putting ourselves at risk. So I will recommend we take no action on this right now until I meet with the executive team. Okay, thank you. Resolution number 208, confirming reappointment of members to the Hudson River Drinking Water Intermunicipal Council. This confirms the reappointments of County Executive Jen Metzger as primary representative and Amanda Laval as alternate to represent Ulster County on the Hudson River Drinking Water Intermunicipal Council.
I'll move it.
I'll second. Nolan, Tomlinson, any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Passes unanimously. Resolution number 209, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a service agreement with the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency, Department of the Environment. I think we'll wait till Director Ryder comes back in case he has anything to add, and I'll skip to resolution number 210. You all right?
No, I was just going to say I wanted to make a friendly amendment to that. But...
Okay, can we do that in a second?
Sure.
Thank you. Resolution number 210, memorializing. Supporting the Lower Esopus Stream Management Plan and urging those state and federal agencies that provide funding for water quality and recreational resources to recognize the Stream Management Plan, Department of Planning. This is stating support for the Lower Esopus Stream Management Plan and urging state and federal agencies to acknowledge the plan.
I am happy to move it.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Passes 5-0. Now we're going back to resolution 209, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a service agreement with the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency, Department of the Environment. Do I have a motion to discuss?
I'll move it to discuss.
Second? Okay.
I assume that you'd want Manic here for this legislator to be here for this one too, but
we have one more that we can go on to before this one. So we'll get that out of the way. Well,
I withdraw my second.
Okay. Legislator Litches. Thank you.
Are you waiting on 209?
We're waiting on 209, and the first by Litches and the second by Nolan is withdrawn. Resolution number 211, approving the execution of a contract for rates anticipated to exceed $50,000 and to entered into by the county, Livingston Energy Group, LLC, DBA Linkwell, Department of Public Works.
I'll move it.
Do I have a second?
Oh, sorry.
Any discussion?
We just have a little description from
Department of Public Works.
Yep. Maybe Deputy Executive LaValle.
I'll read my summary first while you get ready. The resolution approves execution of a contract in the amount of $50,000 with Ulster Livingston Energy Group to install electric vehicle charging equipment at Ulster County-owned locations, collectively the sites, to be determined by the County Department of Public Works for the term June 25 to July 26. I can read a little more. Are you ready?
Yeah.
This is for county vehicles charging?
County buildings. Yes.
County buildings.
And county vehicles primarily.
Legislator Litz?
Yeah, I mean, I noticed that it's 100% county funded. But I see grants out there all over the place for EV charging stations. Why aren't we availing ourselves of grants and not have the county pay for
it? We are all the time. However, those grants, as the sites get progressed, we build the projects with every other source of funding that we can find. So those are not necessarily kind of all known up front. However, we're generally using, you know, up to two-thirds from the, up to two-thirds funding of any charging install that we do is NYSERDA, NYSERDA's, or Slamson County funds. However, sometimes how the contract is structured is that some of that money comes directly to the vendor on our behalf. So it's not coming to the county and then we're paying the vendor. So we don't see it as revenue, but it is built into the project.
Kirk's taken by the installer.
And so he's got a contract with us for X amount of dollars, and then he gets money from the federal government.
We prepare those, what's been happening states that sometimes we prepare those for the project, and then Livingston will apply on our behalf, and so then the payment goes to them. However, it's all transparent. As far as that?
Is our contract set up to say that any monies they acquire from any grants gets deducted from our contract?
Yes.
I mean, I wish that was in this resolution because it just looks like we're paying 100% and the contractor gets whatever he can get on the side.
That's it.
I don't think we have had a way that we've put on here 100% county plus grants, but that's, I think, what this is.
Are these for installing new units?
Yes.
Okay. And for the broken units, do we have a plan of repair? There's some that are
at the courthouse.
Yeah.
That's required a field meeting with the vendor and with Central Hudson to look at the best way of servicing that parking lot.
Okay.
How about if we amend this to say 100% county funded minus any grant money appropriated for the project?
I think that rather than try to amend this language, which is, you know, working and everybody understands on the fly, if we want to amend it in a future contract, maybe talk with the county attorney or at least the legislative attorney and get some language that we know isn't going to mess us up. I mean, this is working. I think Public Works understands what they're doing. The vendors understand what they're doing. But
it needs to be transparent.
It is because you've brought it up in a public way. I don't want to hold this up to, you know, over this issue, but I also don't want to just like make up language and add it to this when the system works. And when you start having grant funding coming in addition, you need to be careful that you don't inadvertently put something into our enabling resolution that knocks out some grant. That'd be my concern.
Yeah.
And because Public Works will also be in
And for the next meeting.
And Ways and Means.
And at Ways and Means. I'd love to give a, I'm trying to skim the details of the contract right now to provide you the language, but I'm not finding it right now.
Mm-hmm.
But this is how we worked with all these rebates and incentives.
So you anticipate there will be an amendment between now and next Monday?
I think it's likely in the contract.
That's what that we'll find just, that language is already there.
I'd like to see it in the resolution because the resolution says 100% county funded.
Well, the resolution actually doesn't say that. This little stip kick does, which is inserted there, I think, to enhance our understanding of the contract. I'm not sure that that actually is part of the resolution. I mean, it's on the resolution page, so it is, but the language does not limit us to having it be 100% county in the language of the resolution.
Legislative list, would you like to make an amendment or would you like to work on that before Public Works?
I would like to have the executive come up with wording that makes it very transparent and clear that this is funding above and beyond whatever grant money we receive.
It's not included.
Because it needs to be transparent, because the average man standard looking at this would say 100% is county funded.
Understood.
A couple of things. Person standard, I would say. I would suggest 100% county. Even though I didn't want to write this on the spot, I would suggest 100% county to supplement grant funding from other sources. Might be the general direction to head.
Yeah. Okay.
So
we had a motion. We had a first. We had a second. All those in favor of the resolution as it is?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Opposed.
Abstain? Okay. Resolution moves forward.
Is there going forward?
Well, that's the last one to discuss the ballot plan. There's one more. The resolution 15. Oh, there's two more. We'll start. We'll go with resolution number 212, approving the execution of a contract for $2 million and to entered into by the County New York State Energy Research and Development Authority, Department of Planning.
I'll move it.
I'll second. Director Doyle, can you tell us a bit about this?
Sure. This is a contiguous grant received from the DSD. I remember now. Yeah, it was my third time for this one. And what this does is it provides for essentially the energy infrastructure of the Government Operations Center. So it's reimbursed the capital project and it's as a revenue. That's why. So there's no cost to the county with respect to this. It would be reimbursable for the work that we're doing, specifically as it relates to the solar facilities and the geothermal facilities and their electric components.
Great. Do you know if this is when the county is required to consider hemp insulation with these energy upgrades?
That work has already gone through the work that was prior to the resolution with respect to that sort of the design work that's out there and the bids that are out there already. Around here, this is just following on to those.
Mm-hmm.
This is not additional work. This is literally basically paying for the work that we already have in the Government Operations Center.
Okay. I see there's language here calling it the Public Safety Communications Building. I haven't seen that before. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I think that's what's in the contract. It's reason. It picks up off the way the grant was written.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we've been calling it the Government Operations Center, the official name. I believe has been changed to the Emergency Communications Center.
Okay, thank you. Legislator Noel?
The in the box here, we have the project is labeled 2025-XXX. That probably now has a number code that is not just a placeholder, right?
Mm-hmm.
XXX might be what it actually is, but I don't think that's unlikely. So if we could get that before this goes to Ways and Means, I think that'd be good.
Got that. This problem.
Yeah, thank you. You're talking about the contract number?
Yeah, or the project number is what's usually in that little box. Sorry, I didn't note it ahead of time. But so on the prior resolution, for example, it says 2025-341. This might be 2025-342, but currently it says XXX. So we should just reference whatever the project number is.
I'm not sure where we are in that, but what I would tell you is that what we have is a work program from NYSERDA, issued from ESD, and we have the boilerplate for the contract. Whether they've actually assigned it a contract number, we don't know, and I think that's why the XXX is in there. I'll check and make sure that that's the case.
So if that's still current because it is a placeholder, that's fine if you can just figure out whether it's intentional or not.
Yes. Director Broyle, can you let Liz know, please?
Sure, sir. Thank you. Yeah.
Resolution number 212. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Abstain.
Abstain.
For the purposes of employment?
Yes.
5-0-2-1, one abstention. And let the record show that Legislator Green has arrived. I'm going back to the resolutions that you would love, Legislator Green.
The last one.
Oh, yeah. Almost. If we did the last one, then
it's related to the one you did.
Yeah. Let's do
that. That's not that.
Let's do them.
Gotcha.
I didn't get it done. That's out of it.
Yeah. All right. Very nice. Resolution number 213, approving the execution of a contract for $197,872.50 and entered into by the county. CT Mail Associates and Engineering, Surveying, Architecture, Landscape Architecture and Geology, DPC, Department of Public Work.
I'll move it.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Lynn Donaldson. Director Doyle, would you like to comment on this one?
Oh, sure. This is, again, related to the Emergency Communications Building. And this contract deals with the issue as relates to the contaminated soil that's at the site. In January, there was a change in the regulations as it relates to dealing with brownfield sites. That requires a qualified engineer on site while the mitigation measures for the soil contamination are in place. This also handles something called a CAMP, which is what this was known as community air monitoring stations. So all of this work gets done on the basis of the 6 to 8 weeks that it's going to take us. It's probably going to take us at least 8 weeks to essentially do the necessary work. And there's also testing associated with that. So as the soil is removed and stockpiled, you test to make sure that you've got all the contaminated soil associated with it. So there's testing fees in here as well as an on-site engineer for that period of time and the community air monitoring stations. I will tell you that we're through our comment period with respect to that work. And I would also tell you that we are in our last set of modifications. We're now on, I think, the fifth or sixth revision to what they call an interim remediation plan that we have to file in order for us to essentially do work on the site. So this is for that engineering firm. This engineering firm has been involved on this site since 2017, and they've been acting as a subconsultant to Urban. Given the size of this contract, we wanted to make sure that we had a more direct control of this engineering firm rather than essentially running it through as a subconsultant.
Any questions? Was this lost in the budget for this year?
Yeah, thank you for that.
Because it's a new law?
Sure, I really appreciate that. Yeah, we had a placeholder from where we thought we would be and et cetera. That placeholder in the budget we were pretty close was $200,000. This is $197,000. So
pretty close.
Yeah, we're pretty close.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. Just
note that this project has the same 2025 XXX. So if you'll also clarify on this one. And
yeah, I think we have to sign it. We can assign this contract number. Yeah.
Thank you.
Great. We'll do that. Yeah.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstain?
Abstain. Sure, okay.
Resolution passes 5-0-1. Okay, going back. Director Doyle, you may leave if you'd like.
Thank you. So there's a statistic.
Anyone who would like can leave.
Where are you going?
See?
You can ask what?
and vaccines. Resolution number 33, opposing the establishment of a countywide landfill in Mawarsing, New York, and urging the exploration of alternative locations and waste management solutions. Do I have a motion to discuss?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Any conversations?
Got a couple of general unique comments. It's kind of push and pull for me in the sense that, you know, I think that UCRA has been charged with the responsibility to, you know, address our the waste we generate and where it goes and you know, being effective and efficient. On the other hand, when you hear these people come that live in that area and give their personal stories of, you know, what each one of them bring, it does kind of have a push and pull effect. With that being said, I think I'm in favor of the resolution.
Anyone else? Legislator Green.
Yeah, I share Legislator Wall's perspective, except that I don't think it's a good idea to rule out any sites. On the other hand, my own observation leads me to have some concerns, and my request would be that we, the legislature, because we are the safety net, have a preliminary review of the work that Cornerstone did to focus in on these sites. And I have reached out to Hudsonia. It doesn't have to be Hudsonia. My concern is if the agency moves forward with the extensive investigations that DEC requires, that just to get this work done was like $150,000. That is going to be extremely expensive. And if, in fact, a preliminary review of their work rules out these sites, it would mean that it would set the process back. But it's not, I believe that there's a danger in it going forward and getting stuck, and a very costly danger. And I think there should be a preliminary review of the work that's been done. And I also don't think that the legislature should be ruling out sites. As much as I believe the site will fail a preliminary review, and I think we need to know that.
Legislator Nolan?
Yeah, I share the concern about ruling out sites prior to having a full evaluation. I'm a little concerned that we're kind of mixing apples and oranges with this field trip to look at a incineration site. That came out of the blue for me in terms of the invitation. I wasn't able to go on that day, but I did review all the materials. And I'm familiar with incineration sites from the work that I do in my paid work, looking at various toxic air emissions. And incineration sites, though they are used widely in Europe, have research done on them there and other places, and they have air emissions that are quite problematic locally. And some even regionally or globally. So the 2020 countywide waste management plan, the firm that we hired to look at various things we should look at for the next 5 to 10 years did not include incineration sites on their list. And I think that was wise. I supported that plan as focusing in on the zero waste initiatives and things that I thought would be healthy for Ulster County. So I'm a little concerned about mixing that in whatever way that was mixed or was just brought up. So if it was brought up and people educated themselves, that's fine. But I don't see that as in anything that helps us. And if we think that people are concerned about having a landfill sited near their community, wait until any community hears they're going to have an incineration plant sited near them. I think that would be, you know, very problematic and probably more science-based to oppose an incineration site than a modern landfill site. That does not mean that I think that a modern landfill site is ready to go in Worsing. I share Legislator Green's concern that on a full review, it would fail as a site. The fact that I think that based on what I've read of the HydroQuest report and Cornerstone and DEC conversations about this over many years is not really what the agency should go on. I mean, the fact that I think that it will not be a good site and some others think that it might be a good site means that we don't know enough. We don't have full science on it. So we can do another opinion and spend some money on that, but I don't think that opinion is going to say, yes, it's a good site or no, it's not. Mm-hmm. And the agency is charged with actually deciding whether or not to go forward. They have their own internal budget, and this is what they have recommended in the request from them that we not get in the way of their study, I think, is a very reasonable one. And so that's where I am. And for those reasons, I would not support this resolution at this time.
Director Wright?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of this conversation misses the point of this resolution, which is that, again, when the agency was created to be the planning unit for the solid waste management plan, that took Ulster County as a government and the legislature out of the decision-making process. Now, you approve our local solid waste management plan. Again, you appoint the board of directors who, as soon as they're confirmed, become fiduciaries of the agency. You know, opposed to what was said on the April 15th meeting, I am the spokesperson for the agency. The board has appointed me into that position. I know that was in question, and I was, I think, defined as a rogue executive director speaking on behalf of the board, which is my duty. To this resolution, though.
Just a clarification. You're not assigned to be a rogue executive director.
No, I was assigned by a legislator at the meeting. Sorry.
You are assigned to be the spokesperson for the agency.
I was appointed to be the spokesperson of the agency.
Yes.
Thank you for clarifying if I misspoke. This resolution goes against the county contract, which says that the county government will not interfere with the agency constructing the solid waste facility, which includes a landfill. So passing resolutions opposing sites as they come is doing that. I don't know whether we'll ever site a landfill in Ulster County. I hope so because, you know, we are right now transporting our garbage 1.5 to 1.8 million miles, depending on how many tons we get in a year, but 253 miles each way, 5 miles per gallon on trucks. And the goal should be we take care of our own garbage. Now we're evaluating whether a regional approach makes sense, whether we have partners regionally that want to live up to the same standard as far as diverting waste and getting organics out. I have an RFP out for diversion and alternatives to landfilling and incineration, and that will come back in June. And so then this Friday, I'm putting out an RFP for the landfill engineering services, The first task, which was not part of the last RFP that only had one response, is to reevaluate the Cornerstone study. So I don't think it's necessary for the legislature to spend county funds to do that. We are doing that. And part of the reason we're doing that is because we believe that this alternatives RFP will allow us to maybe build an anaerobic digester, which will take a certain portion out. We will be able to divert more, shrink the footprint of the landfill. One of the parameters of the Cornerstone study was that there had to be a 50-acre anchor parcel. So one parcel had to be 50 acres. Well, that was required because we were looking at 300 to 400 acres of a landfill. Without using eminent domain to try to contract for sale 100+ different properties would be difficult, right? So we wanted at least one parcel that was 50 acres. If we only need 150, 200 acre parcel, that anchored parcel can be much smaller, and there may be other locations. I still think even after the HUD request study that it is going to be possible to site a landfill. I think it's the most responsible thing to do. And I would just ask the legislature to put some faith in the board members that they appoint and confirm who have direct oversight of me that we're going to do the right thing. I think that in the recent past, our actions have shown that we deserve that leeway.
Legislator Walz.
I just wanted to say that I wasn't aware of that point you made about the county legislature should not be, making proposals that contradict. And I didn't realize that.
So no, I can point you to the
link.
I brought it up in the.
Okay. I apologize.
Sorry. I won't back it. I apologize.
Is that it?
Yeah. Okay.
Legislator Green.
Who is doing the review of the proposal? You just said that the
That version?
Who's reviewing Cornerstone?
No. Are you talking about like who's on the RFP review committee or who's reviewing Cornerstone? So it will be, we're going to do an RFP for engineering services like we did several months ago for landfill engineering services. But the first task of that will be to confirm the findings of the Cornerstone report, and if they don't confirm the findings, we're going to expand the search. So to reevaluate the Cornerstone report.
So you're doing an RFP to get someone to do that?
Yes.
That and others.
Which will also, the same engineering firm will then permit, design, all of those other steps, if it's feasible.
Either there or someplace else?
Yeah.
Correct.
I, from having watched this for 30 years, I am cautious about one engineering firm reviewing another. And Herb, no offense at all, I think your firm does great work, but I think there's going to be a tendency to rubber stamp it.
I disagree, because why would an engineering firm put their livelihood at risk by rubber stamping somebody else's work if they're not 1,000% sure that it's correct?
Good point.
Director Ryder?
Right. So I think that's a great point. They have a PE stamp and they have professional responsibility. The other point is...
And liability.
When we get the alternatives back, it will be before doing this task. So let's say we can get all the organics out of the landfill. Again, that might shrink the footprint. So it's not just them rubber stamping. It's them reevaluating whether if we need a smaller footprint, maybe that opens up other potential sites, right? The other thing that I just want to add is the first two kind of studies to deem feasibility that we're looking for them to do are the soil studies and the traffic. And that won't be as expensive as you think. And if they just rubber stamp the Cornerstone report and then all of a sudden those two sites are infeasible, not feasible, then their work's done. And they would, leave money on the table by not moving forward in a landfill site. They'd basically be saying,
there is no feasible site in Ulster County.
Director Ryder, you know, I've been supportive of the landfill moving forward. I think we, like you, have to deal with our own garbage. I'm starting to feel like this landfill progress is a cart before the horse, because we don't have a zero waste implementation plan, and that's been languishing for 6 years. The county doesn't know what it wants around zero waste, which is why I'm going to your zero waste committee this week. I want to see where UPRA stands around zero waste and what is our plan to understand our residuals. Someday we'll have residuals that are minimal. That's not this year, that's not next year. So if we move forward with our ZWIP at the same pace as the landfill, I'd be 100% in support of that progress. Right now, I'm feeling reluctant to support the landfill, even though it's so important to deal with our own problem. I will not be voting for this to oppose it, because I agree with my colleagues that we don't want to start singling out towns, and I want to know if Worsing is feasible. But I think we have to move forward with zero waste really quickly. Legislator Litz was first, and then Nolan.
I mean, it seems like we're fixated on landfill only. I know in the past I have, you know, suggested, I know Seneca Meadows is 253 miles each way. And I had suggested at one time we look at the old Dyno Nobel Hercules Power property, because they have a siding. We could compact it, put it on rail cars. And the pushback was, well, you know, that's a brownfield. We don't want to get into cleanup and all of those good things. I since have been contacted by the supervisor of East Opus that says their transfer station is right adjacent to mainline track. And they would be willing to have a siding put in and use their transfer station area as a loading location to get rid of our garbage other than Seneca Meadows. I don't know if that's a good idea or a bad idea, but it's an option that I think needs to be looked at instead of just throwing landfill only in a report. It's a shame that there were only five of us that went down to Reworld in Hempstead, their Hempstead plant. I was very impressed. I didn't know much about it. I had dealt in the past with the Answers plant and building the interchange for Louisa Street down in Westchester County. And yeah, you could smell it. Sometimes you could see it. This is drastically different from those two facilities. This facility, there's four on Long Island. This facility handles 100 million tons. It's surrounded by high-end condominiums, and I mean high-end. And if you went through what the PowerPoint was, the EPA sets a threshold of which they cannot cross. And that threshold is you know, for health and safety. And they usually set it very low so that nobody can ever get sick or whatever. And this plant operates at 10 times below what those thresholds are. It's monitored constantly. There's third-party testers that have to be in there all the time. And if they approach anywhere near a value, they're directed to correct it and shut the plant down. They've never had to do that since they've been in operation. I think that I would suggest that Reworld come up and give this committee a presentation. Maybe even the whole legislature. Is it the right option? I don't know. But, you know, unless you look at the options, how are you ever going to pick one? If you're given the choice of one, I guess you're not looking at options. The other thing is I ran into the president of the Sullivan County Chamber of Commerce, and a discussion was had about they are seriously looking at building a ReWorld plant in Sullivan County. Their biggest issue at the moment is they only produce like 120 million ton, or 120,000 ton. And these plants outside of the one at Hempstead, that's a super plant. I mean, they operated a million tons. Their middle of the line is operates, the sweet spot is between 500,000 and 700,000 tons of garbage. Sullivan only produces like 120,000. And the conversation led to, do you think Ulster County would ship their garbage to our plant? Because we produce, what, 500,000?
140,000.
140,000 ton. So maybe they got to get Orange County too. But anyway, they're seriously looking at building a plant. I would love to see, you know, we look into other alternatives than pigeonhole ourselves, because it seems like that's what we've been doing lately. What comes out of their stack is what we breathe, nitrogen, oxygen, and water vapor. And it's tested constantly. There's no sulfuric acid or anything going out the stack. And they'll provide you their records to look at. So I don't want to be closed-minded and just like, this is what we're going to do. I want to look at all the alternatives. And I have to say, I was extremely surprised, even as an engineer, touring that plant. There was only one location where you actually could even smell it. You couldn't smell it in the parking lot, that you could even smell it. And that's when you were adjacent to the feeder for the boiler. And they have another company that takes out all of the recyclables. So basically everything that comes on site gets burned. And what's left is what's left is sand and gravel. The metals they take out and recycle and, you know, that type of thing. And there are some plastics that apparently, you know, that sneak through without being taken out before it gets there. But I was very impressed with the operation. And the gentleman who gave us the tour of the control room and actually was the man operating the plant actually came from the Poughkeepsie Answers plant. That's where he worked prior to going down to the Long Island Hempstead plant. And he was saying that, you know, if you want to compare it to Answers plant, it's like a dinosaur compared to what the industry is today. So we really got to look at the technology of today and not look back and say, well, you know, the Answers plant stinks, so let's not do that. Anyway, I would suggest that you know, we contact ReWorld and have them come up and make a presentation to this committee.
Thank you. Legislator Nolan?
Yeah, I don't see quite where incineration fits into the picture of what we're trying to do in Ulster County. So we have a five-year-old waste management plan that did consider these alternatives and felt that siting one in Ulster County, which is what Ulster County can do, wasn't a part of the picture. I don't know if it ruled out shipping some of our waste to one of these that exists somewhere else, but my understanding is the one that was toured doesn't have capacity to take any of our waste. So what we have is a discussion of what Sullivan County might do, and it's only a glimmer in their eye. So unless we are thinking about siting one here, or encouraging our UCRRA to look at shipping to one of these, which they might consider on their own even without our suggesting that, I don't see that it is important use of our time to investigate this particular alternative, which was way down on the list of all the things that Ulster County should do. In terms of zero waste, that's where we should be going, because then you don't ship it either to an incinerator or a landfill. You're actually reusing or composting. I do believe we can walk and chew gum at the same time. I think we need to put more attention towards the zero waste and make it, you know, a project like we've done with housing. You know, to say, we really care about this and we're going to become a leader in it and we're going to take it on and take some of our funds, as long as we continue to be in the position of having some funds that we can put towards something, put, you know, our resources behind that. But I would do that at the same time that we evaluate all these other things, because we currently have a problem shipping millions of miles worth of things that we consider to be waste that are treated as garbage on trucks that don't burn good fuels is really bad for the air we breathe. So we need to be careful about where we site a landfill in terms of water and community concerns. We would have to be, if we're thinking about bringing an incinerator into Ulster County, we certainly have to be concerned about nitrous oxides and other toxins that weren't put into the PowerPoint, because they're often at very small levels, but they're often toxic at very small levels. So I'm personally not eager to hear another promotional pitch by somebody who uses a technology, maybe a scientist who's evaluating those kind of air emissions. I would be happy to hear that kind of follow-up.
Legislator Green, still have a comment?
Yes. My comment is that I was on the tour and I was impressed, but I was also somewhat skeptical, and so I've sent the slides to the agency. Okay, you didn't get them yet? Okay, but I did, and I will send them. And also to people that that I know are opposed to incineration and have documentation on more modern incinerators and will provide feedback or analysis on the Long Island facility. So I think there are different perspectives. My sense was that it was a lot of public relations. It was very focused and effective, but I want to know the other side of the story. And I hope we'll all want to know the other side of the story. And ultimately, I think the agency has, even though it was listed in the local solid waste management plan, as was exporting by rail, that was definitely mm-hmm. in the plan. Mm-hmm. But I think we have a tradition of not moving in the direction of incineration. So that's all.
Thank you. Legislator Lutz.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking incineration. This is actually waste to energy. That's something I didn't mention before. That particular plant, it's green energy. The noxins are in the chart. It's 0.2% and the plant is maintained under a negative air pressure, so it sucks air from outside. So all of those get recycled back through the boiler and continually get recycled back through the boiler.
Yeah.
So none of that escapes. And the other thing is, it's considered a green energy plant because it generates electricity that operates the plant, and there's huge electric motors in there, hundreds of horsepower, some of them. And it also produces enough electricity to power 85,000 homes on Long Island. And there's four of these plants on Long Island. There's two in New York City. The two in New York City do not burn. They send that waste to Niagara, New York, which is a very large burn electric plant, and burns New York City's waste up there. And some of it gets diverted down to New Jersey, and there's another plant in New Jersey that generates electricity in New Jersey. So, and they transport their waste by rail car out of New York City up to Niagara. and they're producing electricity.
Thank you. Director Ryder?
Yeah, I mean, just on the export, we will evaluate exporting by rail. Would take infrastructure upgrades, radon, inspection equipment and monitoring that we don't currently provide because we don't export. It, again, is just dumping our waste on someone else that is not creating it. And that's the issue that I have with it. It is in our local solid waste management plan, and we'll have to, we will evaluate that like we're evaluating a landfill right now. But to say that we're not looking at other things is just not accurate. I said that we have an RFP out for alternatives right now. Biogasification, anaerobic digestion, a dirty MRF, which would be basically mechanical separation. We are looking at all those, and we're working our way. I want to invite this committee that anybody who wants to attend this Thursday at 5:15 is our regular zero waste meeting. I know you said you're going, but Mike Ewall is going to be presenting to the board his proposal to finish the zero waste implementation plan. And then at the June meeting, we actually have Neil Selbin, who started Zero Waste USA, coming in and doing a presentation. I attended the first first Zero Waste New York conference last week, where both Neil and Mike were. We are very committed to zero waste. Zero waste, by their own definition, is 90%. We have a agency goal of 30-60-90. So by 2030, we'll be diverting 30% of our waste. By 2040, 60%. And by 2050, 90%. So slightly higher than the state solid waste management plan. Waste to energy was specifically not included in the county contract from 1992 and carried over in the draft that you have today. It is still incineration. I know that they dress it up, but what I would suggest is people go speak with their neighbors. And I know when you're down there for the tours, you can't smell it. I couldn't really smell Dutchess that much when I was touring the Dutchess incinerator 6 months ago. It depends on how much it's operating, but you know, they were just fined $875,000 for the DC, so they're not, mainly because of their ash, which is toxic. And a company that's changed their name three times in the last 20 years, from Ogden Corporation to Covanta to now ReWorld, there's typically a reason that they're doing that, not because their brand is great.
Thank you. Casey Plasker, owner of Circularly.
I think you covered a portion of what I wanted to share, but just to add to that, if the ultimate goal is to get to zero waste, incineration isn't included in zero waste, full stop. So if the zero waste implementation plan for the county is the ultimate goal, spending a lot of time, energy, and effort, and money to create an incineration facility, it sort of will go against your zero waste implementation goals.
What is this?
Go ahead.
Well, so I forgot 1.2. So with waste to energy, right, and what they're doing in Sullivan County, the reason I oppose what they're doing in Sullivan County for us, it's not building it here, right? It's not that the air stays where it is. We have to commit. In order for Covanta to come up and build their plant, Sullivan County has to commit. We have to commit 140,000 tons. Orange County has to commit however many tons. And we can never divert any of that tonnage. So if we want to talk about diversion, if we want to talk about getting organics out of the waste, which County Executive Order 1 says by 2030, we will be diverting 100% of our organics, we can't do that because we've now just committed them to Covanta. We can't try to separate any other waste because we've signed a feedstock agreement that says for the next 20 years, we're sending it to the waste energy plant.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, please.
Just to add another comment onto that, I spend a lot of time focused on circularity, circular economy, and focused on figuring out ways to create value, real value, locally with waste. And so if you're doing that per the description of not being able to pull materials out of the waste stream, we're missing this awesome opportunity to create so much value locally for community members here to the use of that material. So, just to add that context.
Thank you. Legislator Nolan.
So this goes back to my earlier question through the chair to Legislator Litz. You know, let's assume that this technology is as cool as you say and as good as you say, which I don't think it is. But if we even assume that it is, what role are you proposing for it for Ulster County? Because as I said before, building one here doesn't seem like a good idea. Committing our waste to another county or another location doesn't seem like a good idea. So if it is a cool technology, can we just let other places that are using it go do that? And what are you actually thinking of? That what role would it play in terms of like the past 10 and 20 years of trying to mobilize towards zero waste and circularity?
I think it's a rhetorical question. And I'm going to go to
the chair to me.
Thank you.
Well, knowledge is a great thing. And that's why I think we should avail ourselves to knowledge, and we should bring a group up, whether it be this company or a different company. And they do divert a lot of their waste. They take all the organics out, or as much as they can be separated. They take whatever can be recycled out, but that's a separate company that does that before it goes on a truck and goes to this plant. Because obviously, you know, Long Island generates a heck of a lot more than 1 million tons of garbage a year for this plant. And with regards to, you know, the neighbors, people from the HOA, from all of those condos adjacent to them, sit on a board that attends all their meetings. So, I mean, we could sit here and debate this all day long, but, you know, I always like to make a decision from a standpoint of knowledge. So avail yourself as much knowledge as you possibly can, and let's not rule out things because, oh, geez, I heard this or I did that. So learn. Have people come here and teach us about their processes and make an informed decision, not just shooting from the hip.
We have 15 minutes in the reports where Legislator Walls will be discussing the same topic, so we can come back to it if you'd like. But I do want to move on after we hear from Legislator Walls.
No, the question was not answered.
Okay, thank you. Legislator Walls.
Okay.
You're next, Legislator B.
That report at the end here. I'm not going to be redundant that Legislator Litz and Green have, you know, flushed out a lot of the information from that facility. What I will say is to build that facility, the cost of it would be about $1.2 billion.
Mm-hmm. Billion with a B.
Yeah. So basically, you know, let's just say hypothetically, that's the best solution, that type of, you know, garbage to energy. You know, can we afford it? You know, how does that, you know, in other words, you know, if the Mercedes-Benz SL500 is the best, you know, best car, can the consumer afford it? You know, so it's something.
They mentioned to build the Hempstead plant in today's dollars is $1 billion, and that handles 1 million tons. We don't generate that much, or our whole area doesn't. So probably, you know, to build the plants, probably 600 or 700.
Yeah, I don't know. I asked that question during the tour, and that was the answer I got. So as far as the tonnage and all that, I'm not sure how that works. So, you know,
Legislator Collins.
I was going to kind of chime in with what Director Ryder talked about. Is this is applicable in my limited understanding to both landfills and to incinerators. If we have a large landfill, that creates a desire to keep having lots of garbage because you got to fill it up. And if we have an incinerator that needs, as you said, a certain amount of feeding it every single day, that means we're going to have to keep generating that much garbage. And if we're committed to zero waste, that's going to take that below that. So if we spend that $600 million, $1 billion, $1.5 billion with an incinerator, or even $20 million in a landfill, we've got to justify that money spent by continuing to have garbage to pay the fees to support the bonds that built that stuff. So that's my concern about both of these scenarios as a No.
Sorry, I've just switched to legislators only. Unless it pertains to UCLA.
It's just really short.
Go ahead.
It just expands the length and the longevity of the landfill. I mean, and we're not, again, if we're pulling things out, we're not necessarily the 200 million, but if it lasts longer, it lasts longer. It saves us 13 million a year in transport and disposal to get rid of it. So regardless of what we're doing with it, if we're not spending that money, that's the savings that can go towards the bonding of the landfill.
Okay.
Let's agree.
Yeah. I just wanted to say that I had a different understanding that ReWorld on Long Island doesn't actively participate in waste diversion strategies. They leave that to the municipalities. And one of the reasons I went on the tour was I had the misunderstanding on Facebook and their ads that they did actually a lot of upfront. The only thing that I learned that they really are able to remove is metals, both magnetic and those that are non-aluminum and others that are not magnetic. And there is a value to the metals. But I was disappointed because I actually thought we were going to see something like some of us took a tour to Beacon, to the, it's not a dirty MRF, but it is a MRF that takes single stream. And I was very impressed with how much they were able to divert. So, yeah, it almost seems like we have to set up a separate committee and get a facilitator because it does take up so much of the time here.
Yeah, very good. So I think that I'll read the resolution since it's been a while, opposing the establishment of a countywide landfill in Mawarsing and urging the exploration of alternative locations and waste management solutions. Are we ready for a vote? All those in favor of the resolution?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
It's four.
Opposed.
And abstain? The resolution fails 2-4. Thank you, everyone. Resolution number 209, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a service agreement with the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency, Department of the Environment. Do I have a motion to discuss?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Director Ryder, would you like to take it away?
So the draft that you have is the culmination of probably 6 months of negotiations and back and forth between myself, the county attorney, and the county executive's office. We used the 92 agreement as a template. Major changes are the agency is willing to forego the ability of a net service fee if the county is willing to forego the bonding cap limit. The two go hand in hand. So, you know, there's changes made to this this agreement, then you would need to, you know, if there's going to be a bonding cap, there needs to be a net service fee. But we don't feel the need to have a net service fee. We haven't used it in 13 years. You know, speaking with financial advisors, it may decrease our bond rating by a rating or so, but that's something we're willing to do. I think to understand why we're pushing for the bonding cap being removed, if you look at the Reuse Innovation Center contract, just increasing the $10 million, that passed by 15 votes, which was enough because it was a contract amendment. If that would have been a bonding resolution to bond for the RIC, that would have failed. And so if we can't even get a project like the Reuse Innovation Center 16 votes, then I don't know how anybody can expect the agency to accomplish anything. I've heard a lot of kind of things that we think we should be doing as an agency. I don't know how you do it. To me, if there's any kind of bonding cap, it really limits our ability to do the real work. I understand that right now with the folks from Mawarsing who tell real stories and tell and have real concerns that we are listening to as an agency as well.
But we have, the agency is tasked with determining what is in the best for Ulster County as the solid waste planning unit for Ulster County. We can't just look at a group of residents. And so my concern is any kind of bonding cap means you might as well kill a landfill. And if that's the case, then we should just know that. Maybe but other than those two changes, much of it is left the same. There is some, a little bit of rewording around the waste to energy piece, like which included anaerobic digestion as an option.
Can you remove that from the language, anaerobic digestion?
I don't think you'd want to. So the original 92 contract says we can't consider an incinerator or waste energy plant. Okay. So it now still says an incinerator, chemical recycling, waste to energy, with the exception of anaerobic digestion, which, we may have to come back and amend if we get this great proposal for biogas that has no emissions or something, but I'm not asking for that now. I'm just saying in the future, if there's something that, if there is a process that we didn't identify that's actually technically waste energy, I may have to come and ask for an amendment. But I'm satisfied. I think the executive's office is satisfied. You have the entire red line draft.
No, I'd just like to make a friendly amendment in that it states in here that whereas the current service agreement expires of May 31st, 2025, but it doesn't say the length of the contract, and it should be in
the length of the current contract?
When this next contract ends.
That's in the contract itself. It's not in the resolution.
No, let's be transparent. Let's put it in here.
Legislator Nolan.
Yeah. So, I'm not real comfortable with removing the bonding cap. And I don't care whether you trade it off against a net service fee or not. I think you can't look at the vote on this particular thing and say, therefore, some future thing will not, pass. I think it was, there were concerns about changing and making exception on this. That is, to me, exactly what we should have done, and we did. The way you do it is you have the bonding cap, and you bring it to the legislature when you want to go above it. And then you get to have this very robust discussion. I think it was the first time we were doing it, and so we got more pushback than we might have otherwise. And I think there were some people who were voting against the UCRRA and not against this particular project because there have been some acrimonious interactions over time, over the past few months. And around landfills. So I think people had their, there maybe wasn't all about removing the bonding cap for a reuse innovation center. And we still did get it passed. And I think if it had been for a bond, the conversation would have had to be about, well, do we really want to kill this project in order to, make a statement against whatever we're upset about today. I tend not to make votes of protest votes for that reason. I think it needs to be, what is this particular proposal? But I like that the funding for this agency, which has quite a bit of independence, has a place where on really big stuff, which is $10 million is pretty big, that the community gets to have an expression. And
thank you. Deputy Executive Lavelle.
What?
Before it expired.
$500,000. It was $40 million in
92. So, sorry, our exemption was for a $10 million project.
$500,000. Right.
Well, the exemption is $10 million for the brick now. It was $500,000 before that and is still for any other project in this current contract. And in 92, it was $40 million. So, $92, if you want to put $40 million in 2025 numbers and give me a $600 million bonding cap, I guess I couldn't complain too much.
$500,000 may not be the right number. I would be with you on that.
Sure.
A couple of points. So what we have noticed is over time is that the agency has not bonded even for bondable items, equipment, et cetera, because of the bonding cap. You want to encourage them to use bonding where and when it's appropriate. This is a disincentive to that. Also, just as far as the red line version, we rely heavily on the Upper Reform Committee report. That's Legislator Green sat on that committee as well as myself and others. And this was discussed robustly over many months, many years. So there was a lot of discussion and a lot of scenario discussion. I think part of the executive's comfort with this red line version also has to do with the fact that it's a 5-year term. Any large capital project of any sort is going to take more than 5 years. Landfill, 10 years. 5 years, just initial even siting studies. And so you're, by having the contract come back and be reviewed again, you do, again, have that check-in point while still allowing the agency to do the job that it was vested with by the state and the county legislature, and also to implement the local solid waste management plan, which it prepared, was reviewed by the state, and reviewed and accepted by the county legislature. There's a large process that is multi-year, and it's going to, you know, has every 2-year check-ins to look at the solid waste flow for the county, the goals of the county, the context of the state, what's going on with waste and regulations, and to act and plan accordingly within that bigger system. So all of that is preserved in this while giving the agency the latitude to do the job that they were created to do, with 5 years coming back to the legislature to renew.
Thank you very much. Legislator Green?
Yeah, I just completely agree with what Legislator Nolan said. I was a minority opinion on the Upper Reform Committee in that I don't agree with removing, let me say it in a positive way. I think the legislature needs to oversee large bonding by the agency. And so, but on the other hand, the exception that was made that's how the legislature says yes or no to projects that are affecting the county. I know that that's a handicap to the progress that needs to be made. But, and there was one other point I wanted to make. If there are other people, I'll come back to it.
Legislator Nolan?
Yeah, if changing the bonding cap, I would have no complaint with, you know, raise it to $2 million or whatever makes sense in our current situation to encourage bonding of small projects. But the idea that you're going to review this in 5 years and that somehow that protects you from open-ended bonding is just not helpful to me, because if you remove the bonding cap at the beginning of that 5 years, you get 5 years down the line, you're not going to want to pull back that project. Or if you do, you're going to have wasted good money. You know, so you could have a $50 million, or let's build Legislator Litz's non-incinerator, but almost like incineration plant, which is going to cost $600 to $700 million, people are not talking about. $30 million for the government operations center was, up until recently, was like, made people very nervous. Mm-hmm. But now we're going to build a $600 or $700 million plant, and the UCRA decides to bond for it. And 5 years down the road, people think, oh, maybe that wasn't such a good idea. Well, you've already got bonds out there, of course, and I don't even know how you roll those back. But so I don't see that helps you. I don't like the idea of open-ended, but I also do like the idea that the agency would have more discretion to bond for, you know, smaller projects. $500,000 is not enough. So I would be very happy to talk about a $2 million or something, even the $10 million that we did on this particular project,
that to me is the edge of my comfort level to go without having had review. So it felt good to me that at $10 million, we got that review. So somewhere between $500,000 and $10 million, maybe we can free up the agency, but not have the agency commit the community to a huge, huge bond without that further discussion.
Thank you. Legislator Litz and then Director Ryan.
Yeah, my friendly amendment would be under resolve, the chair of the legislature to sign a service agreement with Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency, inserting expiring on May 31st, 2030, and the form is filed with the clerk of the Ulster County Legislature.
Would it be the 30th, May 30th?
The 31st.
31st, I believe.
So that's just addressing the fact that we need to have the transparency about the five-year term.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
That's my motion.
Making a motion for that amendment?
I'll second that.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Against? Opposed? And abstain? Motion carries. Director Ryder.
So I'm still hearing language like we're unable to do this, or we have this discretion, like the legislature is giving us this discretion. The agency was created as a state benefit corporation. We are not a county department, and the conversation is still like we are a county department. We are an independent agency. We don't need a contract. We have a state enacting piece of legislation that allows us to do everything we need to do. If May 31st comes and goes and we can't come to a meeting of the minds, which is what a contract is, then we will continue on that day. We won't have a bonding cap. We won't have anything. We won't have no obligation except for our own local solid waste management plan not to do a waste energy plant, which, by the way, is in this contract, so we couldn't do otherwise, right? And there are some other things. There is nothing in this contract that's beneficial to the agency. We're agreeing to it because we believe that we have a partnership with Ulster County that we want to continue. We can do everything we need to do based on our enacting statute. There's nothing in there that requires us to have a contract with the agency. And so the in front of the board on Thursday is this draft contract. If there was little tweaks, then I would recommend they make those changes. I cannot recommend, and our agency counsel, outside counsel, who's an expert in solid waste, believes the cap is illegal, and that had we challenged it last time, it wouldn't be around, and that we should never sign an agreement with a cap again. And so that's what our board members are being advised. And so, I mean, we are where we're at. If this gets amended, I can't recommend to the board to sign.
Legislator Green? Legislator Green?
No, go ahead.
So,
sorry, Justin.
That information could have come to us and, you know, been a part of this conversation. And it just seems like we're getting so oppositional with, you know, an agency that is set up to serve the community. And my understanding was that the reason we had these interacting contracts and even these discussions was so that we had this kind of exchange of ideas. And the people appointed to the board, you know, seem to be heading in a very different direction. I'm really kind of floored by it. And it's, you know, I understand that it's independent, and I also understand, like, Catskill Watershed Corporation is a quasi-public agency. When you have these independent agencies that operate on the behalf of the public, then it seems important to have some mechanism for incorporating the public's view And that is not done as a democracy and a survey going out to the various communities. It, to me, is done in conversation with the executive and legislative branches of that community. If this legislature does not by law have the right to impose a bonding cap, then I'm not sure we should have the agency. Because I do not like that the agency could hold itself out to be, operating on behalf of Ulster County and not have anything other than its own board. I would be very uncomfortable appointing other members to that board who believed what has just been articulated here. So, like I say, I'm kind of floored because I may have been operating on a lot of assumptions about how we do interface. I understand that you can operate without a contract. I knew that. But it's just the magnitude of what that means maybe is just setting in. And so maybe it's not a good idea to have something that can call itself the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency and hold itself out as somehow an agency that serves the same public that is served by the executive and the legislature.
Legislative comments?
I heard what Director Ivor said earlier, that they don't need a contract, which I understand they don't need a contract. And to me, the process we went through to get a $10 million building for them, that I think a lot of us feel is a good thing for them to do, was way beyond what it should have been taken to do that. And I also believe that we can't control them and we shouldn't control them. If they need to do the job they need to do, we're asking them to do an incredibly difficult, messy, politically fraught job. And I look messily in many different ways. And then we're saying, you have to do all this, but we're not going to let you take any money to raise any money. So how do we then expect them to do the job we're asking them to do? And without coming to us, and we have a different mindset politically, you know, I think that's why it's a separate agency. You know, we serve the people of Ulster County. And sometimes we have to make really, really tough and dangerous and tough decisions, and decisions that some people don't want to make politically. And the agency is separate to take the politics out of it. Bonding is a political action. So I don't think the bonding belongs as a tie between us. So I would support the contract as written personally.
Yeah, I mean, what I want to say is we are here, right? Like, this agency worked back and forth with the county attorney, the executive's office, to get a contract that we felt comfortable with and the county felt comfortable with. What we don't feel comfortable with is going against advice of counsel, which has told us not to accept a bonding cap. It's not that the board members want to be oppositional to the legislature. It's that they want to be fiduciaries to the agency, which is their main responsibility. We report to the ABO, the Authority Budget Office, and there are pieces of this county contract that benefit the county, that keep us in certain guardrails, that will keep us moving in the direction that you all want us to move in. It's just because you have no net service fee, has no bonding cap. There's no reason for it except for control at this point. And I don't mean to say that as a negative.
No, I think they would. I agree.
And so we are a state benefit corporation. I'm going to say that every time. And I know you said some of these things had it been brought up before. I've talked about this in other committees. Maybe it wasn't brought up, but I pushed against the bonding cap in many other times. And I think I've said similar statements to what I'm saying tonight.
Legislatively?
Yeah.
I made a friendly amendment, and you said that if there's any amendments, you're not going to go for it. And all it is the ending of the contract. And then I was a little confused. Are you or are you not going to look at waste to energy?
We cannot, based on the 92 contract and based on this contract, we cannot look at waste to energy as defined by waste energy. We are looking at alternatives.
Well, that makes my decision very easy.
That's in the current contract. We can't look at it in the 92
right.
contract.
And you will not accept and you will not accept any amendments to the contract.
I didn't say that. I said major amendments. I said if there was slight revisions, I could bring it back. But again, they've been reviewing this contract. I know you all have been reviewing this contract. Nobody reached out before this and said, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. So they have a meeting 2 days from now. Now, if you all pass major revisions, could they have a special meeting? Yes, but it would be against advice of counsel if it's putting a $10 million or whatever million-dollar bonding cap.
How about the rail spur in town of Esopus?
We are looking at that because that's part of the local solid waste management plan that was passed in 2020.
I just don't want to be confused. I want to operate from
the
stand
of
now.
It's not like
legislator. Oh, Deputy Executive LaBelle.
Also, the local solid waste management plan does not have anything about betting a waste energy or incinerator in it. So, again, that's not consistent with the plan that they're implementing with the DEC. So it would be revision of that document as well. So that's not it.
Legislator Nolan.
Good to know.
Yeah. If the committee could be provided with a copy of that memo from council, that would be helpful. If it's can be shared. And I would prefer to postpone this. And I just think that the issues that we're raising here are really big. And are clarified by the comments that have been made. And I can apologize for not being clear previously, but I think that the community does think of this as an agency that is coordinating in important ways with the Ulster County legislature and executive. In similar ways, but different than the way DEC and Department of Transportation, those are subsidiaries of an executive, and this is not that. But I don't see the benefit of having a contract at all if we don't have some element of control. And the place where it would come in for me is on major expenditures so that we make sure that we're not, splitting with each other. And I don't see how to resolve that. The change of the amount where we would have to consult would work for me, but you're saying that's not legal. So I think we need to look at that. I don't want to ask the agency to do anything illegal, but I don't want to ask the executive to sign a contract that appears to say we're working together, but really we're not. I mean, we can work together just as much without the contract, from what you're saying.
Director Ryder.
The legislator Green, about. So with the Upper Reform Committee, I believe former Chair Bartels requested an opinion of agency counsel on the legality of the bonding cap. I believe. So you might have something, or I don't know, the opinion ever came out. I don't have a written opinion. I have discussions that have, from our council, I have discussions that have been had, and we have been advised in certain ways. So I don't have a memo to share. I could request an opinion, which I'm happy to do. That'll take time for them to draft that. But I think you could also ask legislative council to look at it.
Yeah, I think we should ask legislative council to, and I apologize for assuming that you had a written memo on this. If you don't, then I can accept that, but I think you should have a written memo on something of this magnitude that you're saying, prevents you from being able to to sign a contract that has a cap in it. And so if we could have legislative council look at this, and I would propose that we postpone this for a month. I understand that you're anticipating having a contract, but since a contract, since you don't have to have a contract in order to operate, and I think we should have a contract we feel good about, I think postponing and working it out makes sense.
So we have a motion to postpone. Do I have a first?
So that's the first.
Second?
Second. And I hate to postpone. I mean, I'd like to have everything move forward, but I think we have to figure out how to work together. And that hasn't happened yet. And I'm just going to put in a plug for this. I've said the same thing for the Ulster and Delaware. We have people that are trained. We're following the rules and regulations for the legislature, but that doesn't necessarily help us to come to consensus. And there are people that are trained with those skills to bring people together, to get them to focus and come up with solutions. And I've seen it happen time and again. In our case, it's the dispute resolution center, but there are other people. And it just doesn't feel like things are getting worked out in committee. A lot of good information is shared, but it doesn't feel like we're coming closer to consensus.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor of postponement?
Aye.
Four. Opposed? No. It's 4-2. The postponement passes. I'm a no.
4-2.
Yes, it is. Okay. The resolution is postponed. We have done this. Moving on to Director Rogers' report. Anything to add?
I've talked about most of it. I will just say that we've been working a lot on the Repower project, the RIC. We've hit a major stumbling block that came to funding, something that we thought we would, a grant funding mechanism we thought we would get. We were notified last week would not be coming forward. We've also had conversations with the financial advisor, and they are not advising. They're advising against bonding right now, and it's questionable whether, because we can't do obligation bonds, we can only do revenue bonds. So it's questionable whether we could get non-taxable bonds for this. For that reason, we are letting the one property for the RIC go. It's a pause. It's not a, we're not changing our stance. We're going to do some of the small, we're going to work with the MRDCs and help them build sheds. We're going to work with a nonprofit to do part. We're just not going to have the hub yet because, again, so far we have $1 million in funding from the county that is potentially coming at some point, right? And that's the only funding we've received. And you know, this is a $10 million project that will be difficult for us to get bonds on. So we thought that we've been working with a funder for the last 3 months that we thought was a big potential. We found out last week it wasn't going to happen. Permit modifications. We had our public participation plan last week. As soon as our engineers filled out the, put that all the comments that we received in our responses together, we will submit that for the DEC. So, at that point, I think our application will be deemed complete and there will be a 30-day public comment period. So for the, raising the tonnage for food waste to 7,500 and diverting mattresses, we should be receiving that from the DC, we hope, by the end of the summer and get that started. That's been 16 months that it's been sitting with them. I also just wanted to update on the landfill engineering and diversion and alternative landfills RFPs, but I think we've covered that. So thank happy to answer any other questions.
Any questions? Thank you. Update on other refuse facilities. I think we heard a lot, Legislator Walz, if you don't want to add anything.
No, I wouldn't have to add.
Yeah. Did you want an answer? We're okay on that? I think we can discuss it later.
Yep.
Thank you, Director Ryder. Thank you. The zero waste implementation plan completion update. I was surprised to hear that it's been unfinished for so long. At first, I thought it was a plan that we were following, but as I've been working with Legislator Green, I've caught up to speed with the fact that our zero waste implementation plan should be finished as soon as possible. So I shared it with Casey Plaskert from Circularly. If you could just, we also had it 95% completed by Michael Ewald. And this Thursday, they'll be discussing completion of the plan with him at Ultra. But Casey, can you tell us your thoughts on the plan and what it could become?
Yeah, to be brief, because I know we're coming up on six. So, but yeah, I mean, a lot of the really great work has gone into the plan already. I think there's sort of since this was started in 2019, right, 2020. I think the conversation has evolved. Zero waste implementation plan, I think, goes hand in hand with circular economy and some of the work that's happening with the Reuse Innovation Center and sort of larger projects around creating value from waste. Yeah, I think that there's a lot of also policy that has evolved since 2019 that needs to be incorporated into the Zero Waste Implementation Plan. I've been working with a ton of key stakeholders across the board in Ulster County around circular economy, what that would look like from building a workforce development into a plan like that. So yeah, seems like there's been a lot of really great work done. It's an amazing springboard to do some modernization and to bring it up to what is actually happening as part of the conversations here today.
Thank you. Yeah. Casey, ask me some questions. I'll share our progress with the committee as we talk, and I'll also update you on Michael, the original study creator. Anything for Casey or me? Thank you. Legislator Green, an update, please.
Two quick updates. The Renewable Energy Implementation Working Group is going to bring recommendations. We have formulated very specific ones, but at this point, I think we have to move it to June. Is this June? No, it's still May. And for the Climate Smart Committee, I did meet with Nassim. We're going to try to have the other person is Bette Abroad, but basically we really need appointments to fill that committee. What we came up with was several times a year having a really excellent climate speaker, and we're going to start with Margie Karen from Lamont Dougherty Earth Institute either in June or July, and then coordinating with the EMC and they may co-sponsor those educational events. Right now, it doesn't look like we have the person power to do the Ulster County Fair, but we haven't ruled that out. And, if anybody knows a business person, an NGO, we desperately need someone from Public Works. That's an important, and I'm thinking that perhaps there's someone from the Public Works Department so that we can coordinate. Business, nonprofit, municipal, Public Works, and energy and environment. So Nassim is being very helpful. He's not an appointed member, but he's very focused on, if climate change was going away, we could let that slide, but it's getting worse. We need the education and we need to be modeling the implementation of climate solutions.
Thank you very much. Any new business? Old business? Do I
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Wonderful.
563. Oh, yeah. Second, all those in favor?
Aye.
553.
For adjournment for just a moment so we could allow Legislator Green to vote on the resolutions.
Take back your second. Yes. First?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. In order for Legislator Green to vote on those?
From the resolutions that we addressed.
Consider her to also vote on them.
On the ones that you missed, would you like to vote on the resolutions?
And the minutes.
The minutes we did first.
You don't have to, but right, to give you the option.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate the option. I think I'm going to pass right now.
Okay. It wasn't anything big.
And trust the committee to have decided.
Then I'll make a motion for it.
And do you want to vote on the minutes?
Oh. Yes, I'm a yes in favor of the minutes.
Thank you. Legislator Lentz.
Thank you.
He made the motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
554.